Okay, longest announcements ever. Now, as it's the first Sunday of Advent, we are going to light our first Advent candle. So I'm going to invite you just to stand, and we will do our first Advent scripture reading that Pastor Lawrence will then preach out of. Okay, so I'm going to read from John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Oh, may the Lord add his blessing to his word today. I'll invite Pastor Lawrence to come forward as I light the candle. You can be seated.
So in case you missed it in some way or other, today's the beginning of Advent. And this is a journey that we've been on for a while as a church, and so and you have just done a great job of preparing and being ready to enter into that season. But if that's new for you, even society has sort of done that in this last week. All of our stores and all of the hype around Black Friday and those kinds of things have sort of amped things up. Even the buzz in the sanctuary today with the kids in service is sort of that sense of things have sort of amped up and we're ready to go and it can feel a little bit like we're about to tip the sled over the edge of the hill and down we're going to go. And we'll sort of end up in a pile of arms and legs and snow and the bottom of the hill on December 25th or somewhere there. Because there's something about this season that we must understand, that we're preparing and we're putting a lot of energy into this, and this is good. But where is it headed for us? Because it's really, that becomes our common question now, doesn't it? We forsake good weather we're having in our starting of our conversations. We change it now, don't we? To saying, so are you ready? How are your preparations going for Christmas? Are you ready for this? And that may cause great fear in your heart, especially when you compare it against someone who says, "Oh yeah, did my shopping months ago. Everything's planned. The freezer's full of food. I know exactly what we're doing when." And so you might sort of withdraw from that and think, "Oh dear, maybe I haven't prepared well. I'm not really ready." Of course, understanding whether we're ready or not depends on what it is we're preparing for. And so the most common answer to that question, of course, while we're preparing for the holidays. And we're going to celebrate the holidays together. And I'm getting together with the people at work next week. And then my family's coming about the 20th. And then we're going to do that. And then we're going over to these people's. And all of those different activities. But of course, the purpose of those activities are for the most part the celebration of our life. The good things that are in our lives, our jobs, the good people, our friendships. And we celebrate with things that we don't normally do. We have particular foods and particular activities that are devoted to that because we want, it's right and proper to celebrate our lives and the things that God has given us in them. And so that's great. We should do that. We should be thankful. We should celebrate together. We should draw together our family. Unless, of course, you're in a situation right now where maybe there's some difficulties in your family, and so it's hard to know how do you prepare and how do you enter into that well. Perhaps there isn't a job right now, and so there's parts of your life that you're not sure quite how to celebrate. There isn't a lot of life in some aspects of your world at the moment. Well, you say, but we're at Via Lethbridge. We know that it's not about just celebrating our lives. What we're celebrating is Advent. We're celebrating the coming of Jesus. And those are exactly the words that Jesus said here. I came that. So this is, Jesus says, I'm coming, and we could devote the rest of these next 4 weeks to celebrating and preparing and understanding that coming. Jesus gives us this beautiful picture of his coming. He says, he's like a shepherd. And he says, there's been all kinds of people that have come toward the sheep. Thieves and robbers, and they've come in on their own agenda. They've come in over the fence. And they've come not with the best interest of the sheep at heart, but because they wanted their own thing. They want to steal sheep. They want lamb stew for supper. Those kinds of things. He says, there have been hired hands that have come in and said, I'm interested in the sheep, but then danger arises. The lion comes, the wolf comes, and they're out. They're out of town. They're gone, not to be seen from. Jesus says, no, I'm the good shepherd. I have come with your particular interests in heart. I'm coming directly to you. You will know me. You will hear my voice. And so there is so much that we could unpack about Jesus' coming, his incarnation, and what does it mean that the Creator, the one who was at the beginning, would take on flesh and would come into our world. How do we even fathom those, all of the vastness of divinity coming into human flesh? And so we could just devote all kinds of time to understanding the implications of that statement. We could put intentional effort to teach our children well about what was that coming like and who was Jesus and what does the star signify and all those kinds of things. And you already entered into that very well. And we could, as adults, we could take some time to learn about the incarnation and say, so Jesus came to save mankind. That's about the cross. So why did he come then as a baby? Why not just come as a man and preach some sermons and walk the path that had been laid out for him? What was the point of all that living, coming as a baby and growing up and being part of a community? What does that say about our lives and the fact that God would enter in to the ordinary, simple things of growing up and being part of our lives? Worth our preparing for and entering into and thinking well. But if our preparations are going to be, they must be more than preparing to think well about Jesus' coming. Our preparations must be in line with his purpose for coming. Because he says, it's not just a birthday. There was this interesting guy that lived 2,000 years ago. He's saying, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. There's an invitation in his coming. He's saying, I'm coming to bring you life. And so when you think about all of the things that are on your agenda for the next 4 weeks, Is there life in them? Or are you hoping that life will somehow ooze into you by what you do? So that's sometimes our approach, right? To say, no, there isn't life. I'm feeling weary and a bit tired. And so I'll just throw myself into those activities. And maybe being around people that are excited and energetic and there's good things happening that will bring some life into my heart. We hope it'll rub off on us in some way. My own tendency, I've noticed in the last few years, is more of a checking out. To saying, there isn't a lot of life, I don't have a lot of energy for this. And so, I'll just sort of go through the motions. And we'll just let all that transpire, and my goal is survival. I'm going to make it to the 26th, because then we have a couple of days off, and I'll just crawl under the covers and hope it's all gone when I wake up. That's not life, is it? That's when Jesus says, my coming is about bringing life, bringing abundant life. It must look something different. And we must understand what it is that we're preparing for, otherwise we're going to do this back to front. And we're going to get all bent out of shape about the fact that the red Starbucks cup doesn't give me life. And realize that all the red Starbucks cup can do is hold your coffee. Or we might put extraordinary expectations and hope on one particular event. Or one particular meal. And then we're going to sit down around that meal and one of the kids is going to be sick or fight with their brother, and then it's going to be like, oh, now it's gone. And the life that I was counting on from that event is now evaporated and has slipped through my fingers. And we might put great energy into teaching our children well and walking with them, but all the while have this great hunger in our own hearts for some life and not know how to grasp it, not know how to partake of it. But Jesus said, I came that you would have life, that there would be, that as you walk this journey toward Christmas, you would hear his invitation to come into his life. And that by December 25th, we would be celebrating his life in us. And that in receiving of his life, there would be strength and energy and blessing flow into all the other things that we're celebrating. His incarnation and our families and our workplaces and all of those other things. So how might we accept that invitation? I think at least partly that we could walk into that invitation through Jesus' words where he says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. That picture of sheep having a sheepfold that they had come into, that the shepherd would come to them and that they would hear his voice and recognize him and follow him out and go out, and that he would lead them to pastures and still waters, and that they would be fed in those places, is how we might receive of his life in these next weeks. Because life is held in our hearts. And going in that part of the invitation is about finding a place of refuge and security and safety for our hearts. That there would be that part of our preparations in these next weeks would be a coming away of going into a place in which we would hear the Good Shepherd's voice as he speaks our name. That's not checking out. That's not just a withdrawal from things. Saying, no, you go ahead. I'm just, because we tend to look when we're feeling without life, we tend to look for life in the wrong places. And we say, well, I'll just opt out of that. But Jesus says, no, come in to a place of security, a place in which I could speak your name specifically. that this, in these next weeks, Jesus wants to call your name. He wants to speak to you. So regardless of what's going on around you and the activities that you are a part of, Jesus wants to speak with you in these next weeks. That in calling your name, he identifies you as unique and separate from all the other people who are entering into this Advent preparation. And that he has a particular message to speak to you, that you might hear him as you come to vigil in a couple of Saturdays, that you would just devote some time to listening to what he has to say, that you might receive in dreams or by visits from angels, just as there were in that first Advent and the first coming of Jesus, a particular message and a revelation to your heart that you alone need this Christmas. And that would bring life and restore something in your heart. And that you would over this time of preparation go out and find pasture. That going out is a following of Jesus, following the Good Shepherd to a place of pasture, a place of provision, of refreshment, a place where you could drink deeply from him, where you might find rest and rest that comes from his hand, not rest that comes from our own making. That you would follow him and lie down and feed in green pastures and drink from still waters. And that the feeding of your heart would happen before you would begin to give out to others. It would go alongside of your activities of engagement with other people, but that you would first of all feed from him. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And he says, the way that you know this most clearly is that the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Advent is the beginning of the Christian church year. And we must keep in mind where this journey takes us. That from his birth, Jesus comes with that particular purpose. That he is coming as particular to us and to you, and that he will lay down his life for you. And so as we journey through Advent and week by week, we come to the Lord's table. We come to the place in which his sacrifice is renewed for us each week. And that we could receive life from him that was offered up for, that is available to us because of his death. That this is always the biblical pattern. That it is in the giving up of the life of the one sacrificed that life is able to be given to someone else. It is the source of our life, is in the sacrifice of the Good Shepherd, that he would lay down his life for the sheep. And so here at the beginning of this Advent season, the invitation of the shepherd. That he knows your name. That you will recognize his voice amidst all of the other voices that are speaking to you in these weeks. And that he wants to speak with you. And that he will speak to you about the hunger and thirst in your heart. And he will feed you. That he will allow you to drink deeply so that thirst could be quenched. And that as his life takes resident within you, it would be the life that would then carry you into all the other things that you will participate in over these next weeks. and that our celebration beginning in Christmas would be a celebration of energy and of life that we have received and drunk deeply from over these weeks, not a crash at the end of a too long of a season, but that we would come into Christmas full of his life, engaged and beautifully in love with him. Bishop Todd is going to come and lead us to the table.
Thank you, Lawrence. In the couple of weeks before I went on my trip to India and Africa, I noticed something on Sundays in our congregation, maybe what I'll call at this point kind of like a tiredness. I noticed it in several ways. I'm not exactly sure what caused that tiredness. I don't suspect it's a tiredness caused by doing anything wrong. But probably, maybe we feel a tiredness by just having been so busy, done so many good things can make you tired. And I want to just speak to that a minute as we prepare for the Lord's table. When we're tired, when we feel depleted, it's so easy to look for answers for that in all the wrong places. To look to things that don't actually fix it. And they don't actually make our tiredness or our depletion go away. And I think that as Christians in Canada, there's been a sense of a holiness in so many areas of our life, but when it comes to rest and replenishment, I think we do it in very secular ways. It's like we don't really know how to do it. And so we kind of resort to the same things that everybody else in society does, and then afterwards we're like, well, I don't really feel any better because I was tired from being so busy, so then we arrange a big trip and we think that being even busier is going to fix it. If I travel a long ways, or I hear people, well, I'm going to take the weekend off church, I'm going to go to the mountains. Somehow getting Christian rest? We don't get this. We don't really kind of get what the answers are. And I think maybe that's caused me to use a word other than tiredness. To maybe describe it differently. I don't think we feel tiredness as much as we feel the absence of life. The absence of what Lawrence is talking about. The absence of what this passage of scripture is talking about. And so somehow we're on a pursuit to try to find that. To feel alive on the inside instead of tired and depleted on the inside. And I want to say this to you as a congregation, that when Jesus, our good shepherd, is going to lead us into new pastures, the first thing he is going to do is make you feel the need of it. He is going to make you feel the need of it. And if before he says, come and follow me, I got life for you, he's going to allow you to feel the antithesis of life inside of you. So that when you hear the message of life, your heart says, oh boy, I need that. That's what I need. I got it now. I don't need to just have more tinsel up. Or twice as many turkey dinners. Or twice as many days off after Christmas. It's life that I need. And so he allows you, it's a grace from heaven, to feel the need of it. Before he feeds you, he will first allow you to feel a deep emptiness. A hollowness. And so I think the Good Shepherd has got things for us. He's going to lead us into some new pastures. But what is he allowing you to feel right now? And where are you looking for answers to that? Even God's presence, I I know there's a time to, in a sense, really give yourself and not work hard at worship. But you know what I mean. But I find very few people say, I can't wait to go to church today because I'm going to be in God's presence and I'm going to feel invigorated by His presence. I'm going to feed on His life. And then I'll have what I need for the week. I have come that they may have life. This is the incarnation. And the reason our services culminated the Lord's table, because He is called the bread of life. So guess where He wants His life to be found? And so, bow your head in a word of prayer. Get a chance to speak to Him from your heart. Maybe you'd say to Him, Lord, it's not just tiredness I feel. I get it now. It's not just too much activity, though there can be too much activity. I feel in my bones, I feel the absence of life. Because when He makes you feel alive, you can do a whole lot of things and it feels kind of effortless. Second thing I want you to pray about, Lord, where have I been looking? Where have I been looking without a veil? What are my patterns when I'm feeling dead on the inside? Am I feeling my absence of life? What are my patterns that need some correcting? That when I'm tired, I stay up all night and watch movies. Yeah, that helps. You know you like I know me. That I've got all my wrong ways. So just tell Him, Lord, this is what I think I do. And He's right, it doesn't work. And then lastly, Jesus, this is the reason for your incarnation. I come that you may have life. During this Advent season, I give myself to coming to you to looking to you for this gift called life. And I come to this Eucharist to feed on the bread of life. And so all who truly turn to Jesus and away from their sins, all who seek to be reconciled with their neighbors and intend to lead the new life, following the commandments of God and walking in His holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to strengthen, to comfort, and to nourish you. And make your humble confession to your Heavenly Father. And so we confess to Him all those things we do as alternatives to His life. Just take a moment to listen and seek Him. Oh, Lord, speak to our hearts. Where have we looked to instead of You? Where have we put our trust in? Lord, You've made us feel our need of life. So that You might then fill it. Together, let's pray the prayer of general confession. Merciful Father, Lord, we confess that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Forgive us where the cares of this world have become our cares, where we have succumbed to the love of things, where we have used our minds, our bodies, and our words in impure ways. Forgive us where we have given way to discouragement and despair, self-pity, false comforts, harmful addictions, and selfishness. Forgive us where we have neglected Your two great commands, where we have not loved You with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We repent. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we might delight in Your will and walk in Your ways, power of Your Spirit, to the glory of Your name. And so receive the forgiveness of the Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of His great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with heartfelt repentance and true faith turn to Him, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if we've received the forgiveness of sins, then together we say out loud, amen. Let us give Him our thanks.